I'm going to a town that has already been burnt down. I'm going to a place that has already been disgraced. I'm gonna see some folks who have already been let down. I'm so tired of America. I'm gonna make it up for all of the Sunday times. I'm gonna make it up for all of the nursery rhymes. They never really seem to want to tell the truth. I'm so tired of you, America, making my own way home. Ain't gonna be alone. I've got a life to live, America. I've got a life to live. Tell me, do you really think you go to hell for having love? Tell me enough to forget everything that you've done years ago. I really need to know, after soaking the body of Jesus Christ in blood, I'm so tired of you, America.
Today's protests, or protesters, protest by bygone times. When slavery was legal and was considered by many otherwise normal people socially desirable, morally acceptable. But they also protest the times of racism and racial discrimination that came after the slavery was abolished in this country. Those times are also gone. Good evening. Welcome to The Edge on this 29th day of June. Jeffrey Bennett here for the next hour. And it will be a very thought-provoking hour in so many respects. America, in order to make up for the past suffering of slaves, has bestowed on blacks many privileges and entitlements that are not available to all other Americans. Affirmative action, protection from the so-called disparate impact being examples of. We, the American whites, have become, as a racial group, the most racial people on earth. In predominantly white America, both implicit and explicit discrimination against blacks in admissions, hiring, retention, and promotion has been made illegal. Even vague expressions of perceived anti-black racism, like displaying a rope that some may consider a noose, are being vigorously investigated by the law enforcement, and if the evidence warrants it, punished. And it wasn't. A privately made statement like "All Lives Matter" that could be interpreted by some as racially disparaging or critical of blacks can easily end the professional career of the speaker, particularly if the speaker is white. And yet the protesters, impervious to our relentless efforts to protect blacks from any form of discrimination, presumed or actual, keep protesting and accusing us of being the root causes of the wrongs that happened in those past times, even though they, and in many cases, their ancestors did not suffer from those wrongs and yet are benefiting from the privileges that were meant to make up for the suffering caused by said wrongs. My friends, no one can change the past. Even if the protesters destroy everything that we and our ancestors have built on American soil, America's history is what it is and will stay that way forever. It had its rights, it had its wrongs. Liberty being the former and slavery being the latter. None of us who live here now, today, had anything to do with it. And nor do we have the power to change what was, but isn't. Furthermore, ancestors of many of us arrived at America's shores after slavery had been abolished, holding us liable for the wrongs of the past that we and often our ancestors had nothing to do with just because of the whiteness of our skin is pure and blatant racism that our ancestors ostensibly are so much against. Makes our made-up sins permanent, unerasable. No matter what we do and how much we yield and bow to our accusers, it gives them a moral mandate to become our perpetual liability forever and ever. A gentry-like permanent privileged class, the membership in which is determined solely by birth, and whose privileges and unearned entitlements are protected by the law and the government in this country. It would be an instance of utmost foolishness and a lack of a sense of self-preservation on our part if we yielded to the absurd demands to remake America around their preferences and behavioral patterns while begging their forgiveness for the alleged wrongs that we didn't even commit. It would only make them stronger, more blatant. It would not change the past, would not stop them from accusing of us of our original sin, you know, slavery. I fail to see a good reason to believe that they will stop short of abolishment of America and anything that they may consider white, including our culture, our bread, our morality, our rights, our lifestyles, and perhaps even modern science and mathematics that some blacks perceive as tools of their oppression by the white majority, once they have enough power to do so. And yet somehow, the protesters don't seem to see any reason to condemn slavery in Africa that predicated or predated and facilitated slavery in America. They insinuate, and quite hypocritically so, that America, not Africa, gave birth to the modern-day slavery. And yet, over in Africa, their people are still being sold into slavery. You see, for some reason, although cannibalism in Africa was and often is accepted there as normal as slavery was in the U.S. before the abolition, none of those angry activists who specialize in protesting the wrongs of America's past even think about protesting American or African cannibalism, although it would make a pretty good original sin of some people of African ancestry. And so their outrage is clearly a directed one. The question is, who's directing them? Bringing lasting misery and suffering down on the heads of many for the momentary happiness of the few is not what this country is about. If the protesters don't like what America is today, then they're free to go to some other place that may be more suitable for them than their ideas of a well-functioning society. For we are not going to turn our country upside down or let them ruin this best nation of ours that the humanity has ever seen just because they cannot get over what it was some 155 years ago or more. That's our opening commentary and statement. Where else do we go? It is interesting, a piece that was posted by a friend today on Facebook. And when I first saw it, I was like, what in the hell is that? I mean, I realized I was looking at a statue, but what I was looking at was a statue from above, from in the air, from the head down, and the park around it. The massive degradation, the defacing of that memorial park. Hence, a disgraced nation. I cannot do justice by describing to you what I saw, but I'll give you the author's brief description. And I strongly urge that later today, you go to federalobserver.com and see for yourself. It's the top entry, and it's called The Disgrace Nation. It is the statue of General Robert E. Lee in Richmond, Virginia, seen from an aerial view, has been defaced and vandalized by the ignorant, madding masses who have no love nor understanding of history. Nor do they understand just how honorable a man Robert E. Lee was during his lifetime, prior to and after the so-called Civil War. The disgrace is not the monument to Robert E. Lee. The disgrace is that our nation has raised so many purely ignorant people who not only seek to destroy this statue, but even that of General Ulysses Simpson Grant, who led the Union Army, and the Lincoln Emancipation Monument, along with statues of the Christ, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and even Columbus and Mount Rushmore. Oh, and one more, Barney Fife. All of this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that their efforts are not due to racism and police brutality, but rather they come from a communist-inspired and funded movement to destroy every vestige of America's founding and our republic in favor of a Maoist communist totalitarian regime that will not stop until it has completely erased our culture, our way of life, and traditional America. Something you have to see. Envelop the words. Take them into your heart. But look at that image. You will be shocked. I mean, it looks like a chalkboard in school that a bunch of kindergartners were given chalk markers to, colored ones, to do whatever they wanted. It is the most vile, foulest scene you've ever seen. Every possible four-letter word, it's insane. This photograph was taken from the air. It's horrific, but it's something you must see. I have mulled the problem of this communist movement in our country over and over again. And I only know for sure that for me, there is no compromise to be had regarding the demands that are first and foremost in their agenda, as they use Antifa, BLM, the queer community, the global warming alarmists as their shock troops, their modern-day brown shirts. They're using the immoral dregs of society to destroy the very infrastructure necessary to ever make America better through provocative and benevolent pursuits that come through the mutual cooperation of all Americans rather than the intimidation and violence. These communists who love to sound so altruistic are the same monsters who murder old men, attack lone elderly women in wheelchairs, or simply try to bring home a tiny pack of groceries. They're the same monsters who chant, "Stop the hate," and "Love Trump's hate," while in the next breath they curse and scream at their fellow Americans. They kick, they spit on, they beat, they set fire to their fellow Americans. For me, I want nothing to do with their kind, unless it's to send them to the hell that they've earned and so richly deserve. There can be no compromise with such, with their vile kind. I have no common ground with those so-called Americans who defile every good and decent thing in our country that they touch. And I want no truck with their ilk other than to be able to spit on their dead carcasses. Oh, I know. It'll be best if we can just avoid the Civil War at all costs, but I just imagine the more we acquiesce to the communist demands, the closer we'll come to looking like the UK, where hate speech is enforced and a prison defense and the government can get away with murder because they have completely disarmed all of their citizens. If it's to be a hell on earth in America anyway, brought about through appeasing the destroyers, then I'd rather go out fighting on my feet, still a free-born American. Vladimir Lenin once said, we must be ready to employ trickery, deceit, law-breaking, withholding, and concealing truth. We can and must write in a language which sows among the masses hate, revulsion, and scorn toward those who disagree with us. Vladimir Lenin, the man whose statue still sits on the edge of Seattle, Washington State, untouched, revered, honored. It shocks me beyond belief. American society, its government and its institutions are currently facing an existential threat, intimidation, and extortion from the Marxists, the Maoists, the masked, militant, anti-American, traitorous communists of Antifa and BLM. And the anarchists and the fascists within their ranks, as we watch them destroy our cities and maim and kill whomever they choose on any given day, for any perceived slight or wrong, or for simply being white, or a cop, or another black man trying to do the right thing. They intend the destruction of our beliefs, our principles, our culture, our American heritage, our civilization, and they seek our supplication and subjugation as they calculate that they can eventually seize and wield the power by creating a void of power through chaos, all of which will take America into a dark abyss and a bloody, deadly abattoir. My friends, there is no other way to assess this insurrection that is wreaking mayhem throughout America, coast to coast, and even in the nation's capital. This is the acceleration and an escalation of a mounting war for ultimate control of all of America, between anti-American Marxists and Maoists and American patriots. These fascists are cut from the same cloth as the Weather Underground domestic terrorist group of the 1960s and 70s America that carried out over 2,000 bombings and other attacks on government institutions and businesses and memorialized their anti-American agenda in a documentary entitled Prairie Fire. No American who truly loves this country should make the mistake of turning a blind eye to our enemies, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, nor their rhetoric and actions that are designed to turn the current spate of protest into an all-out bloodbath. June 5th of this year, just weeks ago, Terry Turchie, a former deputy assistant director of the counterterrorism division of the FBI, spoke to Laura Ingraham from Fox News and noted that these days were reminiscent of 50 years ago, stating that over 50 years ago, racism, systemic racism, systemic police brutality, these were the things they were saying then. They knew that these were nothing more than the kerosene you throw on a fire, but they knew that they worked. Police racism then and police racism now is a phony issue. It is the issue that communist societies use to literally tear apart Americans and to be divisive. So much media focus has been placed on BLM alone that America's missed the fact that they are a subsidiary of two pro-China communist parties, the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, or FRSO, and Liberation Road, that were largely responsible for funding and organizing BLM and using three of their agents, who we spoke of on Friday, Opal Tometi, Alicia Garza, and Patrice Cullors to run it as the supposed founders of BLM. But as noted by Trevor Luden on June the 10th, all three are hardcore communist far-left activists who have deep ties with FRSO and Liberation Road. In a 2015 taped interview that has recently resurfaced, Patrice Cullors, who was mentored for a decade by Eric Mann, another radical of the Weather Underground, and an associate of Bill Ayers, the radical SDS domestic terrorist who bombed federal government buildings in Washington, D.C. And in it, Cullors plainly tells Jared Bell of the Real News Network that we are trained Marxists, speaking of herself and her co-founders. FRSO and Liberation Road were the real drivers behind events during the riots and the looting in Ferguson, Missouri in 2014. And from August 10th of 2014 to the present, they have been at the forefront of the unrest from Dallas to Chicago, Los Angeles to Minneapolis, on to St. Louis, Washington, D.C., and Seattle. Oh, yeah. Liberation Road has made many deep inroads into the Democratic Party in several states, so now they're very tight-lipped about any of their foreign communist connections. And yet it's well known that Liberation Road has strong ties with Solidarity, which has an active chapter in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Democratic Socialists of America, Communist Party USA, Socialist Party USA, and the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. Bet you hadn't heard of some of those, have you? Liberation Road has also at times cooperated with the Workers' World Party. And so in the meantime, Antifa, whose real leadership remains murky at best, embraces a large section of American society which subscribes to communism, anarchy, and fascism, too. And at every BLM-backed event, they call out anonymously online for members to join BLM's efforts. One of the better-known leaders of Antifa, Evan Duke, a constant at the Occupy Wall Street protests some years ago. January 2016, James Simpson offered some great detail to illustrate that their common bound could be found going all the way back to Derrick Bell, the first black teacher at Harvard, and his critical race theory, and a Students for a Democratic Society pamphlet written in 1967 entitled White Blind Spot by Noel Ignatieff and Ted Allen, all three communist radicals. In explaining Lenin's strategy to use race to gain power, Bell noted that critical race theory contends that America is permanently racist to its core and that consequently the nation's legal structures are, by definition, racist and invalid. Members of oppressed racial groups are entitled, in fact, obligated to determine for themselves which laws and traditions have merit and are worth observing. In 1992, Ted Allen took matters a step further when he wrote, "Treason to whiteness is loyalty to humanity. And the way to abolish the white race is to challenge, disrupt, and eventually overturn the institutions and behavioral patterns that reproduce the privileges of whiteness, including the schools, the jobs in the housing markets, the criminal justice system." The abolitionists do not limit themselves to socially acceptable means of protest, but reject in advance no means of attaining their goal. That was Ted Allen's statement. And yet, upon being pressed on the issues, most of the academia radicals will deflect. They will qualify, justify this trash by claiming that white isn't necessarily targeting white society on the whole, or white individuals. Supposedly, white has taken on new meaning in the parlance of the new communist and anarchist radicals, and is directed at anyone across the globe of any color or race or creed or sex who embraces the principles of limited government and free markets or capitalism or America's traditional Judeo-Christian culture. No. These are the principles they see as irredeemably evil, which speaks volumes on their own lack of moral character. And anyone who supports traditional American values in their eyes would be considered guilty of white crimes. And so, addressing the nationwide violence on June the 9th, Tucker Carlson, Fox News host, stated, "This may be a lot of things, this moment we're living through, but it is definitely not about Black Lives Matter." And remember, he concluded, that when they come for you, I'm sorry, wrong emphasis. And remember that when they come for you, and at this rate, they will. The mobs of black-clad, masked Antifa fascists, the militant BLM thugs, the criminals have utilized communist terrorist attacks, violence, accusations of racism to intimidate, defame, and silence those who are viewed as enemies. And they have targeted virtually all white people, all police, all black people, anyone else who dares to challenge their radical anti-American nihilistic communist movement. The interesting thing is, they're sure using an awful lot of dumb, ignorant white kids to promote their mantra, aren't they? Think about this. The mobs of black-clad, masked Antifa fascists, the militant BLM thugs and criminals have utilized these tactics and the violence and the accusations of racism, and they're intimidating, they're defaming, they're silencing those who viewed as enemies, which I guess would be me. They've targeted virtually all white people, all police, all black people, and anyone else who dares to challenge their radical anti-American nihilistic communist movement. And I repeated it for a reason. You better get it through your head. If you think the stuff has hit the fan already, you ain't seen nothing yet, people. Not one bit. We're not done with this commentary yet. We're going to continue when we come back from the break. Oh, yeah, there's some other marvelous people involved with all this stuff. The little gang of four. What do they call themselves? The crew? I don't know what those four women call themselves, but one of them, who's now shaved her head, is demanding reparations. We owe them. And you got others that say every white person in this country needs to give their home up to a black. Let me tell you something. Those houses will be destroyed in no time at all. I'll be back in just a few minutes. It's a growing business of some people in the street who do not have a job or nothing. The bottom falling out. All the people slipping through the cracks. You can run and hide, but the dove can't change.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
About a dollar in, a dollar out. How does interest come about?
A dollar in, a dollar out.
How does interest come about?
A dollar in, a dollar out.
How does interest come about?
A dollar in.
Well, we're not talking about dollars and interest today. I'm not even sure we're talking dollars and cents, to be honest with you. Welcome back to the second half of today's Edge. If not for the facilitation of their treason by complicit elected officials and the Demo Rat Party, people like Jenny Durkin, mayor of Seattle, ordered police to abandon six city blocks to these rioters, their movement would not have made so deep an impact. But we see this manifest in a network all across America. Many elected positions are now filled with radical socialists and communists, such as Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. They've all been aided by FRSO and the Democratic Socialists of America. In an online recruitment effort on June the 12th, the Freedom Road Socialist stated in part, "Capitalism is a failed system that thrives on exploitation, inequality, and oppression. And the unfolding economic crisis we are experiencing is the worst since the 1930s. Monopoly capitalism is a dying system. We need to help finish it off. And that is exactly what Freedom Road Socialist Organization is working for." Now, friends, the only reason capitalism is currently so troubled is precisely due to the injection of socialist mechanisms and economic principles into the free market. America hasn't had a truly free market capitalist system in over 100 years. And basically, these protests and violent riots over the deaths of two black men at the hands of policemen that have resulted in the murders of police officers and over 1,000 Americans injured, over 800 police officers injured, many other Americans killed, has been the excuse to follow their agenda and call for a revolution against capitalism. America's communists are motivated primarily by intense, maniacal hatred, just as all past communists have been. But it is especially white hot for the reformers, more so than it is for those deemed to be outright fascists. That is why our weak-kneed police chiefs and our mayors and our governors and military leaders are so damn dangerous, by kowtowing to the true fascists of Antifa and BLM. And their willingness to grovel and kneel to these barbarians and get down upon their knees and polish their shoes and their boots and kiss their feet and all this nonsense only intensifies the radicals' contempt and white-hot anger. And it emboldens the radicals and seemingly blinds them to the inevitable consequences of their actions and the destruction and chaos that too often follows. You know, it almost seems as if the radical communist Antifa and BLM are screaming at America, "To the last I grapple with thee, from hell's heart I stab at thee, for hate's sake I spit my last breath at thee." The chaos in 1936 Spain began in a very similar fashion, as a violent, aggressive, communist, anarchist, and left-leaning liberal coalition which demanded social and economic change. And similarly, just as Antifa and BLM are destroying our historical monuments, with some calling for their comrades to burn the whole damn system down, along with destroying the statues and depictions of white Jesus, the Spanish radicalized urban working class, and the landless farm laborers attacked the military, led by General Francisco Franco, the Spanish middle class, conservative peasants, and the Catholic Church, eventually sinking to the darkest depths of evil to murder lay Catholics and priests and nuns. And at the end of the day, Franco's nationalists emerged victorious in 1939, forcing the communists to flee or face retribution. And Franco demanded individual trials and punishment for every single person who had taken part in the atrocities against the church and conservatives, rapidly sending thousands to the firing wall to be shot and placing hundreds of thousands in prisons. Oh, no, my friends, mercy was not the order of the day. And so may America never see the day arrive that our own disloyal, traitorous, communist, and anarchist radicals force us into civil war. But should it come to pass, we would all do well to remember Franco's example by holding every single ringleader accountable. Remember the names of those who lead the mobs, since that information will prove vital for another day. Every low-life trimmer and traitorous politician, military man, police chief, communist academic, and mayors and governors who participate on the side of Marx and against the founding of America must face a day of reckoning and the punishment which it demands. Righteous Americans must awaken and understand. You must awaken right now, not after dinner, not tomorrow morning after you wake up from a nice sleep. Righteous Americans must awaken now and understand we are in a war for the American way of life and civilization. We must call out this rabbit foaming at the mouth, national mob and rabble for the revolutionary movement and the Marxist enterprise that it is, as we affirm and confirm our obligation to this America we love so well, to which we owe so much in return. She now needs our courage and direct action as we prepare to fight for the soul of America, for America herself. Would that we pass the animal, fix bayonets, charge into the matting masses of radical Marxists and Maoists at the first causal light toss of their Molotov cocktails, hastening their demise and sending them on their way to hell in defense of all that we hold most dear. Justin O. Smith. I've shared with you in the past, when Justin first began to submit his writings to me, a lot of it dealt with local issues where he lives. He has become an amazing writer. Absolutely amazing. My problem is not with Justin's writing, because I believe sincerely in everything he says. We must now stand up. Don't wait for your damn politicians and your local police or anyone else to save your butt for you. The time has come to stand up. Last night, a group of BLM Antifa thugs broke into a gated, very wealthy community and began to march through it and raise a little havoc. And one couple, I would say probably in their 60s, maybe early 60s, came out of their very, very big mansion. He was carrying a automatic or semi-automatic rifle of some kind, and she had a pistol. And they stood out there holding their weapons in front of those people. They just kind of kept on walking by, but they were doing their best to taunt them. What it's going to take is people in every neighborhood to be standing out in front of their homes with those weapons, locked, loaded, and ready for action. But you see, I smell an issue. Americans, once defenders of freedom, have turned into sniveling cowards. You're still waiting for somebody else to cover your butt for you. Simon Sinek, a contemporary author and speaker, recently said that the most effective leaders are actually better at guarding against danger when they acknowledge it, that it exists. Cowards, in contrast, cling to the hope that failure will never happen and may be sloppy in the face of danger, not because they don't acknowledge that it exists, but because they're just too damned afraid of it to look it in the eye. And this is what I see in this country. Most are too afraid to look it in the eye. The forces of evil have stripped your land of civility and reason. Domestic terrorists with only violence in their minds have invaded your peaceful tranquility. They care nothing about you, your property, your right to live and work in peace. They laugh at you while you scurry for cover or complain to a government that doesn't hear you. And so we sit back and watch as our cities burn, and we turn away or we cower in a corner in fear. So what if the city blocks are torched or anarchists take over by force a portion of the place where you live and paint filthy graffiti on sidewalks and streets and buildings? Your government gives them a pass and tells the police to stand down. Armed thugs are coming up the walkway to your home, people. Oh, your heart may be pounding when you call 911 and the person on the other end of 911, the 911 says, "I'm sorry, we can't help you at this time. Our police units are huddled in the North Precinct, have been told not to engage the rioters in your area." So the question I pose, if you have a gun, will you defend your home? Or will you hide in the cellar behind a locked door in the hopes that the thugs won't find you? What if they rob and then torch your home on their way out the door to find another helpless victim in your neighborhood who won't fight back? Will they find you and your family's remains in the charred debris of your burned-out home? Oh, you're furious when you realize that one political party actually condones this violence, while the other party is completely silent. You see, it seems that those who govern us are afraid of Antifa and Black Lives Matter and will not stand up to them because they're afraid of being called racists. And through massive propaganda, we're told that America's a racist country. But only whites are racist. The news media, academia, the politicians echo this very falsehood. And tens of millions of Americans believe the propaganda and feel that they are somehow guilty, especially the whites, for the alleged injustice against the blacks. We're told that only whites are inherently racist. Books like White Fragility, written by Robin DiAngelo, are required reading in high schools and colleges. White Fragility stereotypes all white people as being racist. Well, they simply can't help it. It's inbred, it's genetic. So a white, educated idiot, DiAngelo tells us, right? But it's interesting to note that according to the book, white people seem to only be racist against people of color. You know, the ones that are currently looting businesses and burning buildings that government seems to tolerate. But black people, of course, aren't racist against white people now, are they? And yet white people don't seem to be as racist against the yellow, the Asian race, as they are against the black and brown races. And why is that? I mean, I served 21 months in Vietnam, and I'm not racist against Vietnamese or even my former enemy, the North Vietnamese, or the Chinese or the Japanese or anything else. Because you see, the Asian civilization is almost 5,000 years old and has a very strong bonded culture, with a nuclear family and education and personal achievement being their highest priorities. But in contrast, all the black and brown races are only a couple hundred years out of the tribe. You know, the hunter-gathering existence, where families are torn to pieces, fractured by government policies that are meant to help them but actually destroy them instead. Two-parent families are a rarity. Young boys use gangs as father figures. Attempts at educating them in dysfunctional, run-down public schools where bullies run the classroom is a cruel joke. And their inherent cultural differences make it difficult for them to integrate into any form of American society. Well, because they're told that they're victims of a racial culture instituted by whites, that they have no chance for equal justice or equal opportunity. Whites are told that they caused it, and somehow it's overlooked that a huge percentage of professional sports figures are blacks and earn millions of dollars in salary for pushing a dumb ball around a court or a diamond or a football or a soccer field. Should white players loot businesses and burn down buildings because there's way too many black players in the game? People, We could go on and on and on, but my God, if you don't get the idea by now, you're in deep trouble. We find this constant trashing of white people because of the color of their skin has gone way too far. One day there'll be a reckoning, and that reckoning is not going to turn out in favor of the other side, I hope. It is abundantly obvious that your government has no intention of reining in the irrational and wanton violence that has beset this nation over the fraud called inherent racism by white people. Because government refuses to stop it with force, and the violence is condoned and will continue unabated while Americans hide in the shadows. The fact is, if the government, the police, the U.S. military, the National Guard, and the sheriffs won't stop it, then guess who it's up to? It's up to you, just like in the days gone past. There's a lot of Americans that are ready to stop it now with force. Where will you be in this mess? Americans, my friends, are seething right now. Our government has no idea how outraged the people truly are in this country. They're too concerned with COVID-19 and the upcoming election and Joe Biden and who he's going to choose as a running mate. Awful lot of veterans out there said they are preparing for the coming fight. The divide in the country is as big as it was in 1860, with the states hating the federal government's meddling in their affairs. My fear is that there will be so much bloodshed once this thing starts, it won't stop until there is outright civil war. It's that simple. How long before squads of armed Americans descend on the rioters and shoot them on sight while they're looting and burning? These idiots who would tear down this nation are bullies, and the only thing they understand is a force greater than theirs. And that force is going to require meeting violence with a greater violence. We've lived through much. Can we defeat this scourge that has replaced intellect and reason and logic and the rule of law with irrational violence? It does not have to send us to the cellar in abject fear for our lives. Stand up to it. Confront it. You already know the government isn't going to do it. You are the only ones that can save yourselves. Because if you don't, the violent herd of racist, insane bullies will own you, and you will be putty in their hands and slaves to their every whim. You think I jest? Read history. My friends, a government without restraints is a government out of control. A government out of control is an oligarch monarchy where the oligarch is ruled and the people are subject or servants of the oligarches. And the only answer to this monarchy is a peaceful or violent uprising against the government by the people. Peaceful attempts to restrain government go on for years with little or no effect. And it turns out that freedom is usually earned by blood, not obtained by peaceful means. Freedom is never granted to the people by heads of government that hold the reins of political and military power. And so the question remains, are Americans the defenders of freedom, or sniveling little cowards in the face of violence and corruption and tyranny? Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow. God bless and good night.
Do you think we have time? Do you think we have time? These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses, the rich
rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have a too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to woe, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.